Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. It's that time of year, Scott, when you get the overlap, Michigan State. You've got hockey with the main series Thursday and Friday nights at Munn Arena. You have Midnight Madness Friday evening, and a lot of people will be there. They hope to pack Breslin Center for the second straight year. And then there's a homecoming football game Saturday. But most of the conversation I have heard this week regarding sports has dealt with what happened last Saturday in Ann Arbor. I want to welcome in Joe Rexroad of the Lansing State Journal, covers Spartan sports. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Jack. How you doing?
Well, if someone had told you the day that Mike Hart was crowing about little brother that Michigan State would win the next three games, what would you have said?
I would have checked. Well, actually, I would have checked blood alcohol level on that person, probably. it's certainly not just the three straight, but the way they've come about and the way, I mean, to me, Michigan State looks like Michigan looked for so many years. And, you know, it's like a role reversal. And a talent disparity. I mean, I don't know. I looked at that field Saturday, and I just said Michigan State, to me, has more talent right now.
I asked a question of Bob Davey at Notre Dame in 1999, and I think it helped speed his way down the highway. And he answered the question about losing to Michigan State, that they were hoping to close the talent gap with the Spartans. I can't imagine Rich Rodriguez would say something like that, but there are those who would watch that game and think it's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's like two different philosophies, too. I mean, he has changed the roster, and I think he's gone for speed, and they've done well in the South. I mean, if you believe the recruiting rankings, they do have a lot of skill talent on offense, but, you know, the back seven on defense, I know some of those guys are young in the secondary, but boy, they just seem overmatched, don't they?
They do.
I mean, the linebackers, I know I've heard all year that, you know, Mouton and those guys are playing better, but, boy, I just saw a lot of linebackers hitting running backs and bouncing off on Saturday. So, I know they do have some talent up front on defense, and, you know, like Will Campbell's a big recruit. I haven't heard much from him yet, but it looks like you know, they really have some issues in some areas.
Well, you mentioned blood alcohol level. It brings me to my next topic. We're talking about Chris L. Rucker and what happened after the game. I guess it doesn't matter how many times a coach talks about this, and I know that it was addressed directly after the game. They're still going to have somebody who does something that he shouldn't, and it happens in every program. But now you've got a guy who could be facing 21 days in jail as a result of a probation violation. When are we going to see Chris L. Rucker on the football field again?
I think we'll see him at Northwestern. That's my guess. I do. I mean, I could be wrong, but I the way I took what Mark D'Antonio said the other day was that he was planning a one-game suspension. Then he was asked, you know, will we be back? He said, we'll see. I mean, the way I look at it is, maybe they'll keep him out for that one, but then if they bring him back for Iowa, then it's like, oh, they held him out to the big game, right?
Right.
So, to me, it's like, I just have a feeling. I just got the sense he was looking at this as a one-game suspension, which isn't out of, which is typical, I guess, in a situation like this. A lot of times, I mean, around here in the past, we've seen guys get something like this and not be suspended at all. But the difference, of course, is that Rucker was involved in the Rather Hall incident.
Right, and when you talk about a one-game suspension for football being 1/12 of a season, that's not too much different from a three-game suspension in basketball in terms of the time that someone would miss. But since so much was made of what happened last year and some guys were really given a second chance, does that influence at all what Mark D'Antonio is going to do, and do you think he'll be under extreme pressure to do something more stringent?
Great question. I mean, I think he is under some pressure. I mean, I think publicly I've heard a lot of people today and read a lot of people emailing me and things like that. I think some people are beside themselves that he would be allowed back on the team at all. So I don't know exactly from above what the pressure might be, but there's no question you have to look at this differently because of Rather Hall. I mean, if you look at what Rucker did on an individual basis, what he pleaded to in Rather Hall, it's nowhere near as serious as Glenn Winston's situation
Correct.
With the hockey bite.
Right.
You know, and then Winston got into the Rather, and that was it for him. I think if you want to start comparing things, then Rucker certainly falls short of what Winston did. But at the same time, if you look at that Rather Hall thing as a, here's one more chance for you, then you would think he'd be gone.
Well, if you're going to charge someone with gross stupidity, it's pretty clear in both instances Chris L. Rucker might be guilty. But as you say, there are some definitions of what happened there. And if you really go back and look, everyone who was implicated in a Rather Hall incident was not involved to identical degrees.
Exactly. And he pleaded to one count of misdemeanor assault. And again, I think the attention of that case trumps the details of the case.
Right.
And we've talked about that before.
Right.
Still, the fact that he would put himself in a position when he's had this, not only the opportunity that he was given a second chance, but the opportunity he has in front of him in terms of he's 6-0 in his senior season. And I think this guy can play in the NFL. I mean, now, you're inviting, and again, I mean, I've talked to Chris Rucker a lot over the years, and I've always been pretty impressed with him, but you're inviting serious questions about character, whether that's fair or not. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah. Probation officer Matthew J. Brundage recommending a 21-day jail sentence. That would probably not be impacted until after a trial, or it certainly could be put off until after the football season. But when you think about something of that magnitude, I mean, you're talking about Scott Skiles territory.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty standard, and I expected immediately when this happened, I said, well, he's going to get some jail time because he violated the probation. I mean, how much will he get? Maybe not quite that much, maybe a week or who knows. That's speculation, but it'll be interesting to see the time. You mentioned maybe it's football season. From what I understand, in a situation like this, 4 to 6 weeks is kind of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like a typical trial process. It is a little bit faster, and if that's the guideline, then that would put you right around the end of the season. Now, it's possible, Rucker's lawyer can ask for continuance and they can push it back and it'll just be all after the season. But if you followed that 4 to 6 week guideline, it would be right. Is it possible he would be, put in jail right before the Penn State game or something like that?
After the Penn State game and be out in time for bowl practice.
There's always that, too. Right.
The way the probation reads, Joe, it prohibits purchasing, possessing, or consuming alcohol. It doesn't say about driving at .10. It talks about having alcohol or illegal drugs. And it's pretty clear here that there was that involvement, plus leaving the scene of an accident with property damage. So I guess there are a lot of things that have to be considered here. And, we know all about second chances. We know what Mohsin Mohammed has done with his life. We know what Scott Skiles and several others have done, who a lot of people wanted to have deported. And in this case, where do you draw the line? This is the hardest decision for a coach to make, much, much harder than Little Giants.
No, I agree. I mean, I think it, I think the decision, if not made, is going to be made that he's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And D'Antonio is going to deal with some fallout from that. I think to me, maybe a tougher situation, since we're on this topic, is Deion Sims.
When it comes to that,
because to me, that, even though it's the one time, I think that's a totally different situation than this, and I think more serious, and I think it would really, it's something they should really think about before letting him play again. But this is going to invite some criticism.
Yeah, and certainly the Deion Sims situation, when you talk about stolen computers from the school system, and then, of course, parental involvement here with that. There are so many ramifications of it that it's really a situation unlike any I've seen. I've seen this thing before with Rucker, but I haven't seen the Deion Sims situation. We talk about Deion Sims, and he also had a brief appearance with the Michigan State basketball team. We've got the Spartans and their Midnight Madness on Friday night, and it won't be long, and they'll be hosting South Carolina in that very late game and then heading off to Hawaii. What was your take on Tom Izzo yesterday and his presentation to the media?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me about that 10 p.m. tip, by the way. really looking forward to that. I thought that there was nothing that was terribly surprising. One of the most interesting things I thought was when he was talking about the football team and watching the game and all that stuff and what that program can mean to him.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting, of course, that he did kind of, you know, come out and say that Corey Lucius looks like he's going to have some kind of a suspension.
Yeah.
Maybe more than one game starting out the season. And, the Cleaves-Peterson comparison with Lucas and Summers, I mean, certainly you can see that parallel. And I'm sure Michigan State would love for that to, especially with Durrell Summers. If Durrell Summers can have a senior year like Morris Peterson had, then I really like this team's chances.
You know, I hate to keep drifting back in this direction, but when you mention Morris Peterson and Mateen Cleaves, those are two other guys who were not always choir boys and Boy Scouts. And, you know, they turned out all right in terms of what they did with their career. Certainly led Michigan State to a national championship and did fairly well for themselves afterward. But there were people who would look at any situation like that, especially one with a high-profile athlete, and say, one and done. I don't think it works that way if you're in the coach's seat.
No, I mean, we're both friends with Drew Sharp, and I love the guy, but, I mean, if an athlete jaywalks, they're gone in his mind, you know, and some people are just like that. I disagree with that. You know, I think, like you said, you can come up with, off the top of your head, you can come up with 20 examples around the country of guys who, you know, were granted second, third chances in some cases and ended up growing up.
Right,
I mean, you know, there's no question about it. But there are people who have that mindset that, you know, this is a privilege, you're on scholarship, and you should be held to a higher standard.
Obviously, with most cases, one like this, if this guy's name was Chris Jones, no one would know anything about this, but I guess that's part of the celebrity. It goes with the territory.
Right.
I think it's better if you look at an athlete's case and you say he doesn't get any preferential treatment, he doesn't get any slack because of this, and he doesn't get any harder treatment than anyone else would get as a result of it, and for some of these guys, you know, they're not only their entire future, well, they've had that in their own hands, but also it affects a lot of other people around them. And do you punish the individual or do you punish the group?
Yeah, and like you said, I agree that it should be the same, but of course, when you are a public figure, it's not going to be the same. Public price that's paid,
right,
it can be very steep. I mean, again, you go back to Rather, and some of those guys were guys who went along and wanted to see Glenn Winston beat up someone. I mean, and those guys for at least a few weeks were essentially portrayed as, you know, major criminals.
Right.
So, I mean, that is the cost. But like you said, that is the price of the status that they enjoy, I suppose.
Joe, Michigan State, six games down, six games to go. The same with the University of Michigan. Can you give us an idea how many wins in the second half you expect for both of those programs?
Ooh, more for Michigan State, I'll tell you that. I think, you know, Michigan's schedule really could be troublesome for them. I'm gonna stick with 10-2. I mean, of course, I picked them 8-4. I definitely changed that based on the first six, but I'm gonna go 10-2 for Michigan State. I do think Iowa's tough, and I just think somewhere else they'll slip, and that's still a heck of a year, and it's at least a nice New Year's Day bowl game. Michigan, I guess I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say they go 3-3 down the stretch.
Okay, make them 8-4, and would that mean Rich Rodriguez is back?
I think so, but I guess I don't know that. What do you think? 8-4, did he come back?
I think a lot depends on what the NCAA findings are with an 8-win season.
Right.
And also what happens in the bowl game. You know, you talk about Michigan State might be in a position to get an 11th win for the first time in school history. Michigan might be in a position to go 9-4 then or 8-5. And if you would be 8-5 with losses in your last three games to Wisconsin, Ohio State, and your bowl opponent, and you've got the NCAA saying that the coach has not fostered an atmosphere of compliance, then it would be very easy for them to justify getting rid of them.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting. I always thought 7-5 was kind of that number this year that would be really on the borderline. But, yeah, even 8-4, depending on if all those circumstances came about, and like you said, the investigation is going to have an impact. And I mean, it would just be tough. You're talking about 3 years you devoted to this guy, the resources, the changing over of the roster. To me, if you're going to do that, you better, first of all, know you can get Jim Harbaugh. And you better know he's going to be what you hope he's going to be, because otherwise, you know, you could be setting yourself back more, obviously.
And there are some Michigan people I have spoken with who say if they got to do it, they got to do it right now, because a year from now, if it doesn't work out with Rich Rodriguez, Jim Harbaugh could be in the pros.
Right. And he and then that's the word, is he, you know, is very interested in that. So it's tough. I guess Les Miles is always there, though.
Yeah, they'll get back into the Les Miles Lloyd Carr thing again. Yeah. Joe, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it, and we will see you this weekend.
Okay. Good talking to you, Jack.
Joe Rexrow, the Lansing State Journal, Michigan State beat writer. We'll be back with our final segment, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.